Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software created specifically for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Pearl of Pearl Lemon PR, and today we are going to be discussing reputation management and its importance in building a strong business brand. Pearl is the co-founder of Pearl Lemon PR and the PR director who manages all communications in the company. She's the one who handles the PR campaigns, does the research, and creates strategies that improve brand reputation and brand image. So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
Right now, I'm in Kampala, Uganda. It's a beautiful evening.
That's awesome. And I think you mentioned that you're there for the holidays. Is that right?
Yes, I'm here for the holidays and I'll be in London in a few months. So I just go in and out from different countries, which is the best part about working from home.
So cool. That's awesome. And so tell us, what really motivates or inspires you?
Specifically about digital marketing or in general?
In general.
What inspires me is competing with my past self. I always want to see if I can outdo what I did yesterday or the month before. So this is constant competition to see, this is what I could accomplish 6 months ago. Can I beat that? Can I outdo what I did before? I never want to be in a place where I'm stagnant and I'm having the same issues, getting upset by the same things, struggling with the same thing. Mm-hmm. I always want to be a better version of myself, and that's what motivates me, even professionally.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great answer. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing and PR?
I've always been a professional writer, and one of the things that I did writing. And then I started writing for people's businesses and I started focusing on like persuading clients and persuading visitors to turn into actual paying clients. And that I found out later on that was actually copywriting and I didn't know what that was, but I just did it for fun because I found it challenging. And then when I went to the university, I was in Switzerland at the time and I just needed some extra money. So I was like, okay, let me use my skills as a writer and see what I need to learn in order to earn some money on the side. Mm-hmm. So I became a content writer for some time and I learned a lot about the way that businesses are using blogs and thought leadership articles in order to grow their audiences and develop a reputation in their field. And that really was very interesting to me because that in itself was a form of digital marketing, which is, you know, content marketing and search engine optimization.
Yeah.
So in university, I also studied communication and media studies with also a minor in public relations. And what I learned is that one of the most important things about public relations is being able to communicate effectively in writing. So you need to be a good writer to be a good PR specialist. Mm-hmm. And I took all of those skills and those interests and eventually started working with Deepak Shukla, who is the co-founder, and you know, he's the main founder of Pearl Lemon Group, and Pearl Lemon PR is a subdivision of that international organization. Interesting. And our aim was to help businesses grow their reputations in the way that we did with the Pearl Lemon Group. And it was something that was extremely challenging, but super interesting for me because I got to use my passion, which is writing, my skills in communication, and really just look at where a business is and where it could be and help them get there.
That's awesome. I love that. And then, so why did you decide to start Pearl Lemon?
Prelimin PR is something that was always dear to my heart, me and Deepak Shukla. And we decided that we wanted to take it further because I was doing, you know, for the PR Prelimin group itself. And now I wanted to see how can we scale this and do what we're doing with other companies and use digital PR with a mix of content marketing and a mix of search engine optimization and a mix of reputation management to support these businesses that are now trying to break through on the online space. Because now it's not just about word of mouth. It's not just about for a fashion brand. People make decisions, buying decisions based on what they see online.
100%.
So that's one of the motivations.
Very cool. And what do you love about running your agency?
What I love about it is how challenging it is. You know, we don't have a specific niche, so we get clients who are owners of luxury fashion brands, others are in fintech, others are in digital marketing. So I get to interact with so many different industries, and it always keeps me on my toes, is what I would say. So what I told you earlier, what inspires me is being in competition with myself.
Very cool.
And that kind of role that I have here is the kind that always makes me feel like I am never going to know enough, and I'm always learning, and I'm always using my skills to help people's businesses look better on paper and online. So
yeah, exactly. Exciting. Yeah. And no 2 days are alike, I'm sure.
Yes. It's a lot.
What would you say are the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
The biggest challenges I encounter on a day-to-day basis is when I deal with clients who don't understand that their business is more than just a product, where, you know, there are those businesses that focus solely on the quality of their product, but they don't think about the overall customer experience. They don't pay attention to branding. They don't pay attention to those negative reviews that they and significantly reduce your revenue long-term.
Yes.
Explaining that to people who are only focusing on the product is difficult sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to break through to them. So I'm sure you have to really educate them on that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had one growth tip that you could share with other agency owners, what would that be?
One growth tip is, I'll say it this way. Start from within and look at your employees and see how best can you develop their skills and help them boost their productivity in order for your business to truly stand out. Because oftentimes we focus so much on the outer aspects and we're thinking about the way things look, but we're not really thinking about what's inside, you know, the internal part of the company. That is where the holy grail is.
Yes.
And one of the things that I always tell clients who are in, you know, these kinds of scandals is you need to start working on it internally. You don't get a cup and wash the outside and leave the inside dirty and expect everything to be okay. Right.
Exactly.
So my approach is always to start from the inside, and then it will definitely emanate outside, and you'll be able to grow as a company who are loyal, who have passion about what they're doing, and that in itself will seep into everything that they do. The quality of the work, the customer care, it will all be impacted.
Yeah.
Because of that, yeah.
I love that. That's such a great answer. So let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about reputation management. And so to start, tell us, why is reputation management so important to businesses?
Think of Victoria's Secret 30 years ago.
Okay.
Think about the Victoria's Secret runway shows and the millions of views they would get whenever it was aired, and how it was so prestigious to go into a Victoria's Secret store and buy lingerie for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus now, where it's a very quiet brand because of all the scandals that has been that have been going on because of the transphobic and the kinds of things that the CEO was saying that were not inclusive or diverse. And look at the way that brands like Fenty X Savage lingerie have taken over and become the new top lingerie brand. And all of that is because Fenty has a reputation for being inclusive and diverse and being created for all kinds of bodies and all kinds of women. Mm-hmm. Whereas Victoria's Secret is the exact opposite. It's about exclusion. It's about whiteness. It's about being a certain body type. And as time has evolved, people are trying to shift away from that and create more inclusive environments. So what Victoria's Secret didn't understand is that the product itself was not enough to sustain them. Mm-hmm. They didn't work hard on their reputation. And so when you have a kind of situation like that, and now they're trying to do a bit of PR and try to get more plus size models in and trans models, but it's already tainted.
So yeah, the work that the damage is done.
Exactly. The work that they should have done a long time ago wasn't done. So they've closed hundreds of stores worldwide while Fenty is flourishing. And that is one of the examples I like to use because it really lets you look at it objectively and see that even though both of them create great products, their reputation and how they are viewed by the public really, really impacts the growth of the business.
Mm-hmm. So with reputation management, it's so important to be working proactively instead of, you know, reactively when an issue pops up and then you're all of a sudden trying to backtrack, do some damage control. It's something that you always need to be aware of how you're being perceived by the public.
I love what you just said. Proactive instead of reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You get a client who has gotten in a mess and they're like, hey, we'll pay this amount of money, fix it. And then 3 months later, it's fixed and they're gone. A year later, they're back.
Yeah.
That's reactive, right?
100%.
I tried to explain that reputation management is ongoing. Mm-hmm. You need to be in a position where you're keeping your ears on the media and paying very close attention to what's going on in the public and making sure that your business stays far away from the drama.
Yes. Absolutely.
That
I agree.
Is a proactive choice that you have to make on a consistent basis. It's not something that you do only when trouble comes in.
Being proactive, not reactive.
It's so difficult. It's so difficult to erase. Let me give you a more relevant example. For example, Travis Scott, the tragedy that happened in Astroworld. There's a lot that people can learn from it. And look at Travis Scott as a brand. One of the issues with him as a brand is that he encourages his audience to be rowdy, to shake the floor, to make everything as crazy as possible. That's how he's been from the start.
Yeah.
So now it's very hard for him to come and tell us something different because he has already built his reputation as somebody who encourages crowds to break the rules.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's already built a reputation as somebody who does not care about, you know, certain aspects of concert goers. And, you know, there's so much evidence of that. So him having an interview and going and saying that, okay, now I'm different or, you know, this and that, his reputation speaks for him. So that in itself is an example of the fact that he should have started that a long time ago. Because even though he's a celebrity, he's a brand.
Yeah, and it's so, a good lesson.
Exactly. So brands and businesses everywhere can learn from that.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. So reputation management is a somewhat vague term. I know with my business with Review Robin, we fall into that spectrum on some level with review management. But tell us, what exactly does reputation management really mean? What does it encapsulate?
Okay, that depends on the kind of business. So I'll be very specific. Let's say you own a luxury fashion brand somewhere in Miami. Mm-hmm. Your reputation management would be about ensuring that you have high quality products, because if your products are very poor quality, you will build a reputation as an overpriced brand that produces subpar products.
Right.
Another thing we would focus on is your level of sustainability and whether you're communicating that with your audience and telling people and branding yourself as a sustainable brand, because right now, customers are more likely to align themselves with brands that align with their personal values. Mm-hmm. Another thing is also paying very close attention to customer reviews. I'm talking the written ones, the ones on Glassdoor, the ones on Trustpilot, the ones on YouTube, blogs, all of it. Read it, pay attention, watch the videos, see what it is that the public perception is so that you can understand whether it is going in the direction you want it to go. Mm-hmm. So it's just understanding what the public perception is versus what you want your brand to be and trying to close that gap.
Gotcha.
So it depends with different businesses. You know, for example, an investment firm is not necessarily going to have reviews on YouTube.
No.
So it's really on a case-by-case basis to see what reputation management strategies are more relevant to your business.
Yeah. Yeah. Keeping an eye on those reviews, I know, is huge. And then responding to them as well, you know, not leaving mm-hmm. negative reviews just left unresponded to. And because anyone else who's coming to look at those reviews is going to, you're now showcasing your customer service. And if you handle that in, you know, a cool-headed, calm, professional manner, you're going to be in a positive light for anyone else who's looking at those reviews in the future.
Yeah. So when you talk about customer reviews in particular, they're very tricky to fix. And one of the things that I recommend is you analyze them in two categories. Ask yourself, is this an authentic review from an authentic customer who has some great points? Mm-hmm. Or is this an anonymous review from a random person who's doing a hate campaign? Because those two happen a lot.
Yeah, fake reviews are the worst.
Exactly. So you wouldn't want to exert a lot of emotional energy trying to respond to reviews that are anonymous. They have no basis in fact. They are from somebody who's probably using different IP addresses and trying to tarnish your brand. That's mm-hmm. different
yeah.
from a genuinely dissatisfied customer.
I agree.
So that is the first step to see, okay, what are we going to deal with? What is relevant? What is factual? What do we need to deal with? Because right now it's very easy for somebody to just write a random review and you'll never track them.
It's true. It's so yeah. common.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so what kinds of businesses do you guys typically serve?
We do business to business. So I wouldn't say typically because we don't have a preference, but I'll say that we've had businesses that are like digital publications, people who own apps, wellness apps, people in the wellness field, businesses that focus on money lending, investment, and also fashion brands, luxury jewelry brands, and we're also starting to work with celebrities as well in the future.
Cool.
But we kind of have like an open door policy where Deepak and I are very excited for any challenge. So we wouldn't turn down a client because he's in an industry we're not comfortable with. It's just very interesting to see how reputation management is important across the board.
Yes, 100%. Now, digital marketing is constantly changing and evolving. How do you ensure that you're staying ahead of the curve when it comes to reputation management?
I'm a Gen Z, so I'm always on the internet. And since I'm always on the internet, I'm obsessed with learning as much as I can. So yeah. Right now we're living in an age where we have an endless access to information. There's so many free online courses and podcasts and webinars that there's really no reason for us not to elevate every year. So one of the things that I do with my team is we have a policy where we try to make sure that we use different software tools mm-hmm. to boost our productivity or improve our processes at least once a month, we need to come up with two or three software tools that we found are amazing. And another thing we do is we usually have business coaching. We go through a lot of productivity training and just always in this constant state of lifelong learning.
Yeah.
And I think that is how I stay ahead of the curve, especially in this digital era. You really have to work hard to stay ahead of the game.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah, it's something you just have to constantly be working at. How can I be getting better? How can I be learning more? Yeah, and just staying as productive as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you manage your client expectations when it comes to reputation management? Are you able to promise any set in stone deliverables?
We don't promise anything ever. That's what
it's a tricky one. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't promise anything ever. This is not a black and white business kind of thing.
No.
But what we like to do is work closely with the client, especially in the first month, to understand what are the deliverables, what is the goal of mm-hmm. this reputation management campaign, what is the gap that you want us to fill. And then we develop strategies to work towards that. And why I say strategies plural is because not one strategy works. You need to use a multitude of them. And gotcha. You need to do them on an ongoing basis. So we always tell our clients that we want to do reputation management for a minimum of 3 months. So 3 months to 6 months is when you can see tangible results of a reputation management campaign. And that's how we help them manage their expectations. But usually we get clients who understand that reputation management is complex mm-hmm. and you should not expect, you know, to get a halo on your brand the next week.
Yeah.
It's a slow, steady process.
Yeah. Well, that makes your job much easier if they already come into it with that mindset.
Yes, if they don't have that mindset, we make it clear.
Yeah, you have to. So do you have any tips or strategies that you found work well for managing your clients' expectations to maintain happy clients?
You know, there's some people that will choose unhappiness no matter what you do. So let's start there.
Yes, and they're not your ideal client.
No, but you never really know. There's just some people who will see the faults in everything.
True.
But that's just for every business. You know, you're always going to have those one or two clients who are always unhappy.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that Deepak devised a system where we have a client relationship manager whose main role is to stay in touch with the client on a regular basis and listen to any complaints, give them any feedback, and be the buffer between me, the PR director, and the client so that they have a dedicated person just listening to them.
I think that's huge.
Yes, and that has really helped us. That was actually Deepak's idea.
Yeah.
And what happens is let me give you an example. If a press release is written and I send it to the client and they want some changes made, and then, you know, they're very unhappy about it, they will have a call with our client relationship director. It doesn't matter if they want the call 5 minutes ahead of time. He'll get on the call, video chat if they need, phone call if he needs, and he will be allowed to talk for 40 minutes or 50 minutes as long as he needs.
Yeah.
Because we want to get to the heart of the issue and make sure that they feel as supported as possible and are aware that we are doing all that we can. So that's something that I've seen has really transformed the way that we approach our clients. Our clients are kings, right? And they get that kind of attention because they need it. And a lot of them are very anxious when they first begin because they're dealing with a lot of losses. They're dealing with a scandal. So it's understandable that a mm-hmm. lot of them are a bit testy.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Another thing that we do is we send weekly reports and biweekly reports for all of our clients so that they see the ongoing activity of whatever PR campaign we are doing. We don't wait a month or two.
Okay. Yeah. Weekly reports is, that's awesome.
it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Because they get to hear from us on a regular basis. Not just that, but we have WhatsApp group chats where I use my business contact and they can reach us whenever they need. And, you know, in case one of the articles have been published on the Cosmopolitan or Yahoo, I just put the link in there so that they see it. Put a nice emoji, say, yay, great win today.
Yeah.
Simple things like that really make a client feel like something's happening.
Yeah. Right?
So there's never a week that goes by where there's no communication. It's an ongoing process of a lot of communication. So we value over communication very much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, they would just feel heard and feel like they're a priority within your business. So
because they are a priority.
That's such a great strategy.
Do our best to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would recommend other businesses to do that, to be as transparent as possible. We're so transparent that if I have a conversation with a journalist or an editor and I've sent a pitch to them that they've accepted, I will take a screenshot of that and share it with the client.
That's awesome. Yeah.
They will see the email activity. I will record my emails on a screen recorder, or I will do whatever it takes so they can be as involved in the process and see that we're not afraid of being as transparent as possible.
I love that.
That's helped us a lot. Yeah.
Very cool. So where do you see ProLemon PR in 5 years' time?
Oh, ProLemon PR is my baby. I have high hopes for her. And I see ProLemon PR being the kind of PR agency that works with clients all over the world. Right now, we have clients in the UK, the US, and other parts of Europe. Mm-hmm. And now we're trying to expand and also break into this to African businesses. And celebrities, as well as people in Asia and South America. And I just want it to be as international as possible. I think that working with these kinds of businesses is so intriguing and very fulfilling.
Yeah, I love it. You've got big goals and ambitions. I think that's awesome. That's the only way to be.
Yeah, always competing with myself.
Yes, I love that. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So
nice.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
You're going to laugh, but the book is called The Shack. it's a book about a man whose daughter was kidnapped and murdered and his relationship with his God and just his process of going through grief.
Wow.
That really impacted me. I think my mother and I have read the book, I think, 4 times.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I got to check that out. Sounds like it's a must read.
Yeah, it's a must read. And I think, especially during the pandemic time, so sorry about that. My lights just went out. Especially during the pandemic time, where people were losing a lot of loved ones, it was a really monumental book to read. And I loved it.
Awesome. Sounds very interesting. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine. One thing that I never fail to do is reach for my phone and turn on a playlist because I cannot function without music in the background.
Love it. That's awesome. Yep. Get the day started with some energy.
Yeah. It kind of gives me more hype.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
CEO that I follow or study? Not really. I follow a lot of writers.
Okay.
CEOs. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then what is your favorite online tool?
That's an excellent question because I have so many. I don't know where to begin. I mean, I have a favorite online tool for different reasons, right? So I have monday.com, which I love to use because I have a team of people based in different time zones and different countries.
Yep.
And I'm able to easily collaborate with them and get in touch with them about different tasks. And it's just such a great tool to use.
Awesome.
Another tool that I love is Loom, which is a screen recording software.
Yeah, I use Loom all the time. It's so handy.
You use it too?
Yes.
Yeah, it changed my life. I'm not exaggerating. Because you know, when you send an email and you have to explain something technical, it's really complicated. And now with Loom, you just, at a click of a button, you just record it and then send the link to somebody for free. And it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's exactly what we use it for as well. Whenever our customers have a question about something, I'll just record a little tutorial, send it over to them, and
it's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's so crystal clear.
Another tool I really love is CoverageBook. It's a PR reporting tool that I use to create reports for clients.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I could go on and on. You have to stop me.
All right. No, those are some awesome tools. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I had known that imposter syndrome is complete bullshit. It's something that will hold you back and make you feel like you don't deserve what you have, even though you've worked for it and earned it.
Yes.
I wish I had known that, you know, as a woman of color, there's always going to be challenges, but that should not make me doubt myself.
No.
I think that would be the main thing. Yeah.
It's a great message. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Pearl. It's been really great chatting with you.
Pleasure's all mine.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.